All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, God, we commit this time to you, ask you to bless our minds, to understand your word, walk therein, be changed into the image of your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have fellowship with you through him via the Holy Ghost. God, these are the times that are trying men's souls. And it's time for you, God, to raise up Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized believers to stand against your enemies and destroy them. Utterly destroy the devil. Yes, totally consume him. Yes, and God, set captives free that will hear this word, the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. Bind the devil so people can hear this message today with clarity of thought. Yes. People's minds are so foggy. They're unable to concentrate. Yes. Their minds wander off because they're demon possessed. Bind the strong men in the minds, God, so folks can hear and pay attention and actually do something about their bound state. God, dispatch force against the devil. Bind him, yoke him, destroy him, and set captives free for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sons of the beast. Sons of the beast. I had two dreams over the last week and a half that were about the same thing, but different dreams. Both of the dreams were about taking a test in a classroom. And in one dream, the test all varied. In other words, nobody's test sitting next to you was like yours. So you had to pass your test to pass that class. And you could try to copy somebody else's paper, and you're going to be off because their test is not like your test. And see, this thing here was a test to get into some arena that everybody couldn't get into, but you had to pass your personal test to make it in. The other dream, it was another test arena, and I remember this about it. It was 100 and some odd questions taken at the test facility in one place. Now again, it was a personalized test, and 26 other test questions taken at a judge's chambers. So you had to leave that test facility and be driven to a judge's chamber to take a test in front of a judge. But I don't know what the test was about. But I remember that the judge's chamber was on Monroe Drive in Atlanta. I said, I'm going to drive down Monroe Drive and see what's over there, you know, see what's going on. It must be something on Monroe Drive, you know, I don't know. But I know the judge's chamber was on that street, and you had to go to that judge's chamber to pass those last 26 questions, and then you'd pass the test. So there's a test being orchestrated by God, I believe, and we're going through the final phases to see who's going to pass. Remember, all of your faith must be tried. It must be tested to see if you really believe. See, you can say you believe a lot of things with your mouth that your heart doesn't believe. But trials of fire let you know what you really believe, because you will say what you believe under duress. See, when you're under duress, what you really believe is going to come up and out of your mouth. So trials will make you see. Remember, Job was faithful with his confessions at first. But then at the end of those trials, he began to say things that were contrary to God. So he was passing pretty good at first. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. Job was sounding real good at first. But later on, you know, why is God doing this to me? You know, I'm a good and righteous man. Why are these things befalling me? Why? Solomon got to everything as vanity. This is coming out of his mouth. It's being written down. That's what happens to you under duress, under a test. Peter was tested. He cursing Jesus, saying, I don't know the SOB. You see what I'm saying? Under duress now, when you're being tried by fire, we're going into a trial by fire in these last stages of humanity, where they're going to put extreme pressure on you to deny Christ. And all you got to do to deny Christ in a lot of instances is say nothing. Your silence is a denial of Christ. He says, if you represent me before men, I will then represent you before my Father. That means I got to open my mouth. And under duress and under fire, I got to say everything my flesh is fighting me not to say. See, because your flesh is going to rise up and say, don't say it. I got to take authority over my flesh and say, move out of my way. I'm going to speak the whole counsel of God. Even to my detriment, I will stand for God. Cause every pressure from the government, from society at large, from the media, from every institution, educational, and every other institution is going to be focused on the Christian to shut your mouth. I dare you to say something. It's like the president or the Supreme Court justice yelling in your face. King Agrippa, Felix, all of these Roman authorities going to vent. I command you, those Jewish priests and those people in the temple told him, I command you not to speak any further in the name of this Jesus. The apostle said, hey, I obey God, not man. God has spoken. I got the prophecy. I got to speak up. You got to lose all consciousness of your environment and what people think about it. I could care less what they think about it. The only thing that matters is when all the smoke clears and the end of time has come is what does God think about you? Have you stood on my side and represented me at the expense of everything else? People don't matter at all. Forget them. Forget tact. Forget propriety. Forget Robert's rules of order. Forget all of that. John the Baptist says to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That's the way it is. See, we go through all these convulsions trying to accommodate flesh, when flesh is the institutional domain of the devil. The people in the White House don't know anything about this.
That's right.
They can't tell you anything. They're ignorant of God. You are the mouthpiece of God. If you are born again, full of the Holy Ghost, you are the mouthpiece of God. But we stand in awe of men's persons. And the Bible says you're under an automatic curse when you make flesh your authority, your heart departs from the Lord. And you're cursed. You can't be a respecter of anybody's person in this. You represent God and you speak the whole counsel of God. And it doesn't matter what people think about it. The only thing that matters is it true and is God speaking? That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Laws don't matter. Political correctness does not matter. Homophobia doesn't matter. Transgender phobia doesn't matter. They got names for everything now, making it an inordinate fear for sin. An inordinate fear of sin. See, that's what's wrong with people. That word right there is hated by people. Sin. Because sin is committed against God, not man. So you have sinned against God. So they don't want their actions to be called sin. That's what they hate about a Christian. I'm going to show you why they hate Christians in just a minute. We're talking about today the sons of the beast. The beast is a person. The beast is a nature. And the beast is a system. You got to know that. Before you deal with the Antichrist and the beast, you got to understand that he's a literal anthropos in the Greek, a man. He's going to be a physical man to govern and head up Satan's government at the end of time. And the Bible calls him in Revelation 13, the beast. The beast governs people who have the beast nature. And because you're under the beast with the beast nature, you fit into the beast system. And you will receive the mark of the beast. So that tells you something. Now the mystery is, before the devil can govern you, he must first animalize you. We have walking, talking manimals down here now. These are not humans. They're a combination of some type of an animalistic mind mixed in with a human mind. My wife spoke about it last night when we went out to dinner. They got this birthday bash in Atlanta, kind of a replacement of Freaknik, where all these rappers and prostitutes and strippers and heavy drug boys riding around these Bentleys and Maseratis and Ferraris on the streets. But the prostitutes and strippers come in heavy, heavy. And you go out to dinner. Last night we went to Buckhead, which is the exclusive area of Atlanta. It's kind of like Park Avenue, kind of like that Miracle Mile in Chicago. I forget, what's the streets in Chicago?
Magnificent Mile.
What's that street right there?
Michigan Avenue.
That's where all the money is in Atlanta and Buckhead. Peachtree Street turns into this high-rolling economic zone where all the banks are at, Charles Schwab and all the financial institutions. All that's in Buckhead. And you got all these wild renegade hood rats in Buckhead. But the reason why they receive them is they bring the money. Strippers got a lot of money. The drug boys got a lot of money. They don't ask you, where'd you get that money from? They don't ask you that in the restaurant. The hotel don't ask you when you check in, where'd you get this money from? See, money can make people downgrade everything. And you see the poor white people walking around looking so pitiful, looking at all these crazy hood rats, thinking like, y'all done let Tarzan out his cage up in here. Look at this. This is Tarzan's jungle. And why do I say that? The girls file out the hotels in see-through clothes with thong straps everywhere, just walking through the street, just crazy. Like some kind of animals or something. These are manimals. No woman would walk around naked like this unless they've been driven crazy. We're seeing deals being made with prostitutes on the street. Guy standing there with a $2,500 stack in his hand making a deal with a prostitute. I mean, I'm hearing the girl right here with him. I'm here over in the conversation. Phone numbers exchanged. The girl's name given. He don't know the girl from nobody. Tonight we'll get together. You know, what's your name? Sarita, whatever name was. And, you know, like they'll just discuss the money later. She's standing there in see-through clothes, basically a bathing suit underneath, you know, all everything exposed. Girl's walking through the environment in Buckhead. And I'm not exaggerating. My wife will be a witness to this. These girls look like somebody pumped up a huge helium balloon and put it into their butts. Their butt came out from their body at a 90-degree angle. You could set a plate on their butt. I'm not trying to be funny, not one inch. They've been down to the Dominican Republic and down to Brazil and down to Mexico and got all this stuff put in their butts at the risk of their own health now. This stuff here will kill you. You get an infection from this stuff, man, you're going to die. If that stuff bleeds into your bloodstream, you'll be dead. It'll poison you to death. But these girls walking around, they look like a horse or a donkey from behind. Flat waist. They're shaped like an S. You know, they got silicone in the breast. Flat waist, then a big old huge donkey behind in the back. You know, imagine the girl with a flat waist, but her butt sits out, you know, way out from her body and just draped down and cup her, and it's perfectly round. And they walking through with these stretch jumpsuit on, cat suits on. And you looking at it like, is this really happening? It's like you in a movie. You know what it reminds you of? Have you ever seen the clowns in a circus that have the big long shoes on? And they walking around with all this stuff on to be a clown? They look like clowns. They have mutated their bodies, mutilated their bodies to look like some kind of an animal, accentuating the behind because they deal with sodomites. Sodomites worship butts. And they got these girls warped in their minds to make their butts huge for the sodomites. And they just be out there making that money. You gotta be breaking all money to them. T.I. King opens up V Live, the brand new strip joint on Marietta Boulevard. T.I. King got 7 kids. Him and Tiny have 4 kids outside of their marriage. But he's had 3 kids with Tiny, 2 boys and 1 girl. She had a daughter, an older daughter, in her, like 19 or 20 years old. And then he got a young baby girl, Heiress Harris. That's her name. Heir to the King's throne. Brand new baby girl, and you out there pelling all these girls. Met in a big hotel ballroom. The girls came in their butt naked to audition to be strippers. 1,600 women showed up to audition to be a stripper in his club. They hired 100 of them. Less than 5%. How do you get all these folk I think it was 1,600 to 2,000 of them showed up, and they hired 100. How do you get all these young girls to walk in a place in thongs, breast hanging out, butt naked, covered in tattoos, blonde hair draped down their backs, coming in here to be a stripper because they know the money that a stripper will make? In T.I.'s club, Marriott Boulevard is right around the corner from the Falcons' new stadium and the Hawks Arena. The high rollers going to come through there in droves. And these girls lining up thinking, this payday right here. Because strippers always double as prostitutes. They don't just strip at the club. They do parties. They do bachelor parties. When the high roller drug boys and the athletes come to town, they get the strippers to come out and perform for. I got a friend who used to drive a limousine for the boys. And he'd take the strippers to the hotel. The strippers be in there, 8, 9 guys running through them, getting paid $2,000-$3,000 a night. The strippers out last night driving Mercedes, Benz's, BMWs, and Highline cars. You got a girl in high school in 11th grade planning to be a stripper. Talking about her vocation. College? Are you crazy? A degree? For what? Have you seen my body? You see it now. Wait till I get back from Brazil. They're going through body modification. What do they do when they try to figure out who's going to be a stripper? Who can make their behinds clap? So they want your behind to clap, your cakes to clap, your butt to slap together like you're clapping your hands. That's what they evaluate. How low can you go? They got a song called "Getting Low, 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 Low." Let me see a Tootsie Roll. Let me see your booty just roll with all that fat in it. Just roll. Now see, this ain't funny. Because you got people turned into animals. Natural, brute, beast, the Bible calls them. And folk want me to back off of it. Man, don't bring this up. I'm telling you what we're about to engage. Half man, half animal. The monkeys on Planet of the Apes can't understand you. They don't have the intellectual acumen to understand the gospel. That's telling you one thing. Jesus Christ has got to stand up from that throne. He's got to travel down through time and space into here, embody himself in you, and contradict that mess and interdict. Divine intervention is now needed to save an arrested mind that hasn't the ability to understand what you're saying. They can't even take the data you're presenting and understand what you just said. Their minds are corrupted, the Bible says. Where'd it come from? That stinking, filthy rap music has made them into animals. You got an embodied animal in Jay-Z and in Kanye West, in Rick Ross, in Lil Wayne. These are manimals rapping into the young people, that mind that makes the girls 2,000 strong want to be a stripper. They glamorize the strippers. They make them a big deal until the young girl in the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade don't even pay attention to schoolwork. Why should I waste my time going to school? The money my auntie is making and my sister making at the strip joint. They're putting down $2,500 a week. And you talking about a stinking college degree. Talking about being a dental technician. $700 a week. When I could be making $3,000 a week because they pulling down $2,000. Have you seen how I'm built? Shoot, I know if they make that kind of money, I'm going to go in here and make some big cash, Jack. Because I got this body and I know how to twerk harder than them. I know how to work. That's what Rihanna sings about, work. And she drops $15,000 at the strip joint, a woman. That's telling you it's androgynous. She giving the strippers $15,000 if they stand there and twerk and break it down for her, a woman. You go down here to Onyx on Cheshire Bridge, one of the biggest strip joints in Atlanta. You see them lying down the street, nothing but women in miniskirts. They get into the strip joint. These women now, some of the most beautiful girls in Atlanta. They're not strippers. But they make their money off the punks in the strip joint, the little boys with their arrested minds who will pay them to have some sex. What I'm telling you is we're watching the human race turning into beast right before our very eyes. This is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those people became animals to the degree if you walked in the city as a man, every man wants to sodomize you. Now, you got to know what we're going to be walking through in a minute now. Barbara told me last night, I don't ever want to go back to dinner here again in life. Now, a year or two ago, we were having dinner in one of the most productive, formal settings in Atlanta, Buckhead. That the police had a ring built around Buckhead that you can't come in Buckhead in the kind of way. You get locked up real fast in Buckhead. Now it's degraded to nothing but a hood rat center. Manimals walking around everywhere. Degraded. Crazy. You look at the people, you know they're insane. It's the sons of the beast manifesting right now. They'll be marked easily. They'll take the mark with no resistance. The only interdiction we got available to us is for you as an individual to get full of the Holy Ghost so that you're not identified as one of the beasts. You remember there's a mark on the forehead of the beast people and there's a mark on the forehead of the saints.
Yes.
The memory says they were sealed in their foreheads. That's your mind not open to be an animal. That's why they lay up with each other like dogs. That's why Atlanta has become a third world country concerning AIDS. They're laying up with each other like dogs, spreading AIDS like rats and just people who are contaminated and infected with all these diseases, and they don't even care. You'd be a fool to go out here in this. But yet the music is providing that drum beat driving you to the streets. My wife and I saw a show the other night about crumping. And they got this guy in California dressed up like a clown. This got a crumping crew, that crumping dancing to express their anger. They packed out an auditorium, I know, 20,000 strong to see this trash. And to hear the people talk. They all put clown makeup on their faces as they dance and crump and all this. I mean, their bodies do things that a human can't do. That's you demon possessed to do that. Nobody can move like this. Dance teams in high school and black colleges. These girls dance like dogs. Step shows with your nastiest fraternities and sororities. No, I don't respect not one of them. It's trash birthed in hell. That's what it is. You in a step show like an animal made a fool out of, getting a college education looking like an animal on the stage, made a complete fool out of, and you're mad because you joined your soul to the devil through taking that initiation through those fraternities and sororities. You've got the mind of the beast. You're a Mason, you've got the mind of the beast. You're an Eastern Star with the mind of the beast. Everything about the gospel is a cursed thing to you because you got that beast mind. You got to go through initiation to walk with the devil. You got to go across the burning flames. And it's not mentioned in church because the pulpit is captivated by the fraternities. The people in the pews are captivated by fraternities and sororities. Nobody says a word. That's why when Elijah came to confront Jezebel and Ahab at Mount Carmel, they answered him not a word. Because they were bound to the beast system. They were sons of the beast. They let the Jezebel spirit come in and bewitch everybody and take their minds over. So now the gospel is foreign and distant to church people. They don't even understand the gospel. They get offended by the gospel. They hate everybody that brings the gospel to them because they're sons of the beast. They got that beast-like mind. I'm going to show you today one of the greatest mysteries available to the church world today. It's a mystery. And boy, it's prevalent everywhere. You see, to preach the gospel, you basically got to, first of all, be extracted from the environment by God until you care nothing about the environment. I don't care how people feel about me. I don't care what threats, what kind of accusations they bring. It doesn't matter. Is it true? All you got to do is tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Every examiner, everybody providing commentary doesn't matter. Because the gospel stands all by itself. When everything is burned away, the Bible says that word is going to be standing all by itself. Because the word is not letters in a book. The words is a person. The Bible, you got to understand what the Bible's for. The Bible reveals the person to you. You don't worship the Bible. When you see people going off into versions of the Bible, it's the King James only. They don't know the revelation of the Bible. Well, they've changed different Bibles. It don't matter because you got the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. It don't matter what they change. The Holy Ghost is going to shake his head yes or no to whatever you read. But some versions of the Bible can help you understand the King James. You just got to know how to rightly divide and navigate and let the Holy Ghost navigate you through it. So when people begin to worship a version of the Bible, that's letting you know they're not dependent upon the Holy Ghost. And they go off every time to some delusional teaching. Every time they'll go off because they're not depending on the Holy Ghost. They're dependent on their own academic acumen or their own intellect or their own educational background. That's a bad mistake, buddy. You got to have the Holy Ghost in this. The Holy Ghost is not somebody that's somebody you just take or leave at your discretion. He's not an option. You got to have the Holy Ghost. If you're saved without the Holy Ghost, you better beg, you better plead, you better fast your way down to 100 pounds until God pours the Holy Ghost out on you. And I make no apology for that. Everybody that tries to confront people that know the Holy Ghost and know God never have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because they're using what? Head knowledge, the carnal mind, information and data. They don't even understand this. John MacArthur trying to tell you about God without the Holy Ghost. And people say, well, I can understand what he's saying and I like him. You better get somebody full of the Holy Ghost to tell you about God. Because the Holy Ghost is that candlestick that reveals the showbread. You can't get a revelation of Jesus without the Holy Ghost. You can't speak for God without the Holy Ghost. You must be Holy Ghost dependent to make it to heaven. He is the name of the servant that leads you back to heaven. Outside of that, you know, the gospel will be to you offensive. It's going to offend you because you don't have the right spirit. So when somebody speaks according to the spirit, under the inspiration of the spirit, it's going to offend you because you'll have a prescribed notion about how God should be. And he's not acting like I think he should be. I don't see anything wrong with sororities. That's because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You're blind as a bat in a religious church setting without the only person, the Holy Ghost, that can make Jesus alive to you. You don't need a crucified Christ. You need a resurrected Christ. And the Holy Ghost resurrects Christ in you. The sons of the beast. Let's begin here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, sons of the dirty low-down beast. The beast is a person. The beast is a nature. The beast is a system. Now think about this. I want you to imagine this for just a minute. We're sitting here, about 40 people in a room. Folks in churches everywhere. By way of live stream, there'll be another 1,000 people about that will listen to this by the end of the week. So you got these people sitting and listening to this. What I'm saying would offend probably 90% of all church people. And they won't even know why it's offensive. They'll tell you you're in a cult. I'm getting ready to read the Bible. What have I said today that's not true? What is that? They got a power over them, a force that Satan has put on them. That resist and hate the gospel. In church, they don't go to church to hear the gospel. They go to church like you go to a Kiwanis Club meeting, a sewing circle meeting, any kind of a meeting you go through and go to that has no value at all. They don't even expect to hear the gospel. They go basically to be entertained. I like the singing. I like the choir. And I like the entertainment of this fool preaching. All that tuning up and all those histrionics of a homosexual, you're entertained by that. Can't you see the bastion of homosexuality is always entertainment? They are good court jesters. All the affectations make people laugh and it's entertaining. But the gospel won't make you laugh. You might laugh at a few jokes here or there, but the gospel will hit home, buddy. It'll cut through you like a hot knife through butter. Because it's cutting stuff out of you and putting other things into you. So, you know, you can't deal with God looking for entertainment, because God is not some jigaboo court jester. He's not Mr. Bojangles to entertain anybody. He knows that he created hell for the devil and his angels, and you will go if you side with Satan, with no respect of persons. No distinctions made. Either you're with Jesus or you scatter against Jesus. There are no gray areas. Look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there. In the place of judgment, iniquity, wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. The house of God, the judgment seat of God, the place of righteousness, wickedness and iniquity have invaded the environment. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are what?
Beasts.
They themselves are beasts. For that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts. Even one thing befalls them, as the one dies, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Here's a man, Solomon, that has lost all hope, separated from God as a sinner. He says, all you can be is a beast. Everything is vain. There's no purpose to anything. Man is nothing but a brute beast without God. Without the Spirit of God, man is nothing but a beast. The carnal mind makes you a beast. You live on instincts. Survival of the fittest. Only the strong survive. If I don't have enough, I'll take yours. I live at your expense. I take from you to sustain me. That's the nature of the beast. Only the strong survive in the jungle. The lion lives off of the lamb. The alligator drags a two-year-old boy into the lagoon in Disney World and doesn't even eat the boy, just drowns him and leaves him there. That's the devil. This is symbolic and a look at the mind of the devil. Drown the boy and just leave him at the bottom of the lagoon, drown. A two-year-old boy dead, laying in the bottom of a lagoon, drug in by an alligator. This is the beast nature. In Orlando, just that same week, a man walks into a homosexual club, shoots 49 people to death. That's the beast. Now, you know you got the beast in full effect when Satan will take two Antichrist spirits and use one to kill the other. You got a Muslim Antichrist spirit killing a Sodomite Antichrist spirit. That's telling you the devil sacrificing up his own for a purpose. Because they're going to identify you with the Muslim and tell you that you're a fanatical Christian that parallels the Muslim. See, anybody can be fanatical about religion, and you are fanatical too. And your hate speech identifies you as the same thing as that Muslim. The devil sacrificing up his own folks in order to get to the Christian. Because they're going to accuse you of being the same thing when you stand against sin. See, here's the devil, and if you examine him, here's his mind. Here's a person demonized by the devil and how they think. If I stand in the middle of Orlando and say, I don't agree with homosexuality, I don't think it's of God, and I don't see it as being the thing that God designed, because God designed male and female, and everybody should be in a heterosexual relationship and marry man marrying a woman to bring forth children. Even the homosexual came from a male-female union. You can't even be alive as a homosexual if everybody was a homosexual. That was made, as you know, it goes against nature. But if I say that, they will argue with me and debate with me. They'll go back and forth, and they'll kind of be a stalemate, because that's your opinion and the Bible is contaminated, and what it says is not germane to present days situations, and what he said in Leviticus, that's not applicable to us, because they were talking about temple prostitutes, not homosexuals. See, temple prostitutes were an abomination, but not homosexuals. Romans chapter 1, that's Paul and his particular prejudice against certain people. That's Paul's view. Notice that every time somebody tries to defend the delusion and sin, they'll make it Paul's words. See how Paul felt about women. That's why he said what he said about church leadership. Because Paul was really prejudiced toward women. What happened to the Holy Ghost writing these words and the whole Bible being inspired by the Holy Ghost? Well, not when I want to do what I want to do. We're going to make it just a man talking when I want to do what I want to do. That's the devil at his best. So if I stand there and say that I don't agree with homosexuality, I'll get an argument, and it'll be kind of a, you know, heated type environment where they don't like me. But if I say these words, they'll want to kill me. The man walked into the club under the inspiration of Satan, in an environment that was inspired by Satan. Everyone he killed that was a sinner, unrepentant, went to hell. That's when it's gonna really flare up, buddy. Know what they're gonna tell me I just did? You're judging. You don't have the right to put anybody in hell. Buddy, if you die in your sin, you go to hell. Period. And you know, the human doesn't like that. You know why they don't like it? Because all of sin and falling short of the grace of God. You know the difference between you as a saint and a sinner? One big difference. I'm inside of Christ and you're outside of Christ. That's why they try to make you what they are. Or you're a sinner too, not in Christ. Because I have what? Imputed righteousness. It's not mine. I received the Savior. You rejected him. So you're not on board the ark. You're on the Titanic. And it's sinking. I'm on the ship of Zion headed home. With my imperfections. With my shortcomings. With God still working on me, I'm in Christ. Yes. But you're not. You reject the Savior. You know the power of God? God expresses his power through something that doesn't even seem like it's applicable to us. But here's the real power of God. God saved Rita through forgiveness. He forgave her sins. That's how he saved her. He didn't impute sin to her because she received Jesus. So he saved her by forgiving her of her sins and pardoning all of her transgressions. That's raw power right there, buddy. That's raw power. I'm going to reveal a mystery to you that most church folk don't know. He is God's supreme logic when the devil tried to pit his mind against God. Here's how the devil was thinking. Your creation is down here, human beings. I can tempt them like I did the angels and turn them against you. And I'll damn every one of them. If I get the corporate heads of the human race, Adam and Eve, to sin, everybody coming out of the loins will be born in sin. And I would have done to the human race what I did to those angels. Because you created them in your image. And I'm trying to mar the image of God by making them my people, my worshipers. They worship me. I'm going to prove to you, God, that I can take your creation. God said, okay, he didn't step in the middle of Satan and them. You know, go ahead. So he went to them, he tempted them, and they fell into sin. And the devil says, see, I won. But this is what he didn't know. This is the supreme logic of an almighty God that can outthink the devil all day long. What he didn't understand was this. You're dealing with a triune being. See, the angels don't have flesh and blood bodies. They're spirit beings. So when they fail, you can't redeem them. But a human, God segmented off the human spirit, soul, and body. So what the devil did was he pulled the man out of his spirit into his soul. Not understanding God can redeem that person. Yes. So you don't understand. I made them so they're redeemable.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
He don't understand that.
Thank you, Lord.
He thinks I won. But he didn't know that he had Jesus who had to be a witness not only to the human race, but to the angels. I'm going to prove to you that you don't have the power to conquer me, because my son is going to bear the sins of all these people you just destroyed.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to put it all on him to prove to the angels that he is worthy to be their Lord. I'm going to prove to the angels, when you accuse Jesus of not being worthy to be the supreme commander in heaven, I'm going to show you and show all these angels, both the fallen ones and the righteous ones, that Jesus Christ is worthy. You don't understand the things that are going on down. This is a chess game being played. So the devil tempted them into sin. They failed. The whole human race fell into sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. While we were yet sinners, God saved and justified the unrighteous people. Because Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, before he created the world, Jesus was dead to God, because he knew what he was going to do. The devil played right into his hand. Check, checkmate. He's a punk boy. He's a weak link. He's a dog. You got to treat him like one. I'm not going to stand up backing off of the devil, because Jesus Christ reigns supreme. He's been given all power, he says, under earth, in the earth, and in the heavens. What are you backing away from the devil for? So God let man fall into his soul, and the spirit man died in that the Holy Ghost left him. But now he's what? A free will agent with the ability to choose God still. That's perfect. So God lets you walk with the devil until the detrimental elements of the devil begin to corrupt you and destroy you. Looking for you to do what?
Cry out.
Like a drowning man. Cry out, save me.
Yes.
And when you cry out, the Bible says he's quick to hear. His ears are always open to the cries
of his people,
of the righteous. When you cry out, when you finally say, God, I can't do this. I can't take no more. That's when God comes to the rescue. But you got to willfully turn back to him. That's why I despise once saved, always saved, and unconditional eternal security, because it eliminates your free will. Whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the waters that are freely given. It's a free offering of Jesus, but you must accept him to be saved. So what happens when you turn to Jesus? He re-inspires your spirit, because the Holy Ghost comes back. Soon as you come to Jesus, the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit. But now that Jesus you receive will now baptize you in that spirit. And he begins to do it, fill you with that spirit, consuming the flesh with that all-consuming fire of the Holy Ghost. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire to burn off what? The dross, the fat, the flesh that's been binding your spirit all the time you spend in sin. Church folk ain't going to tell you this. The preacher ain't going to tell you this, because he don't even know it.
Jesus.
I'm telling you why it happened like it happened. The greatest revelation you'll ever receive is, why did God do what he did? He segmented us off spirit, soul, and body, so when Adam fell, he could redeem us from the hands of the devil. This is a magnificent, majestic, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present God that's playing chess with a stinking fallen angel that don't know his butthole from a hole in the ground.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
What are we doing?
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
What are we half-stepping for?
Yes.
How can you do despite such a great salvation, the Bible calls it? This is a great salvation. Man, I planned this out from the foundation of the world. I got this joker beat all day long.
Jesus.
And folk walking around, stripped down these girls in the street with thongs on like dogs for the devil. Turned into animals like a devil. These pretty little black girls walking around turned into trash by this dog. And you don't have the energy in you to stand up and say, not my watch. Not me. I'm fighting this dog.
Yes. Yes.
Some little wimpy dude calling me, talking about he's inspecting me. Don't inspect me, buddy. Get in the fight.
Amen.
You're gutless wonder you.
Amen.
Almighty God, from the foundation of creation, had this thing mapped out.
Yeah.
All I got to do is join myself to his mind and walk this thing out.
Yeah.
And play my role in it.
Hallelujah.
Walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh.
Yes.
It's the stinking flesh that Adam and Eve fell into that you got to be extracted from. That's the limiter. That's the contaminator. Everything you go through is designed to destroy your flesh.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Everything. From the day you were saved, he's after that flesh. Because that flesh is in my way. The carnal mind is enmity against me. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Wherefore, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Got this boy trapped. He had that boy trapped from day one. He knew the devil was going to defile the angelic forces from day one. When he created them, he knew he was going to fall. But he was not going to impugn his will. Five times in Isaiah 14, the boy said, I will. And you trying to respect the devil? You bowing down to the White House full of the devil? Not me.
Amen.
Not me. I will not bow.
Amen.
That's pride. It ain't pride. That's holy boldness, man, founded in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm a member of the elect army of the firstborn. We are kings and priests, man, in this thing. In Christ, we live and move and have our being. You got to be consumed with Christ. Every day of my life, I think about this thing.
Thank you, God.
I spend my days thinking about this thing,
yes.
Praying about this thing, meditating on this thing,
yes.
Day and night.
Yes, Lord.
I always got my earbuds. My ear was Shambach or Clendenin or somebody preaching to me.
Yes, Lord.
Jeremiah Polger did one on identity last week. I pumped that into me.
Yes.
Rashid teaches Bible study. I pump it into me every week. I will not bow.
Yes. Jesus.
What you're feeding on. That you cower down before the devil.
Right.
That you're afraid of him.
Right.
He gets loud and bold and you just shrivel up like nothing.
Right.
No, man.
Amen.
You're doing despite the grace.
Yes.
You're ashamed of such a great salvation.
Jesus.
God says, look, I empowered you from the foundation of the world in Christ.
Yes.
All you got to do is just trade off that flesh for Christ.
Yes.
And come back out of your soul into your spirit. And walk in that spirit. And God will be right there.
Yes.
And nothing by any means shall harm you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you ask what you will of the Father and he will give it to you. That's what the man said. He's not joking. He got the devil measured and weighed. And he got that joker already in hell right now. But it's looking for us to be what? Enforcers.
Yes.
I got the victory. Now you enforce the victory. And you got this weak-kneed, wimpy church walking around half-stepping, half-scared of him, cowing down, bowing down, talking about homosexuality in the valley. God loves everyone. And you are excited off on a person's sin and their damnation. Homosexuality is sin. Transgenderism is sin. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Lying is sin. Stealing is sin. It's sin against the living God and his Christ. Period. I don't like that. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you don't like it. It's the way it is. You stay in your flesh and in your soul, you're damned. You got to walk in the spirit. You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. As a young girl, she goes out there as a sinner, she's damning her soul. Her soul is going to corrupt. Her mind is going to corrupt. Trying to be with her friends and fit in, she's going to be damned.
Yes.
That's the way it is. I warn the righteous, I warn the wicked. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die soulishly. Your spirit is already dead to God because the Holy Ghost is gone. Corruption works its way out. Your spirit is dead. Your soul dies as you get mental anguish, depression, anxiety. You're smoking cigarettes 5 packs a day. You're drinking liquor. You're snorting cocaine and smoking crack. You're smoking dope, trying to stay high out of your mind all the time. Ecstasy and all these crazy drugs, LSD to escape, because you're dying inside and you're reaching for something to escape from this death that's overcoming you. And finally, it works its way out to your body and you physically die. Death works from the inside out, consuming you, because the wages of your sin is killing you. I warn you, I'm here to tell you, turn back from it. And the church folk don't like you, cause your soulish life and your sin give that preacher your money. You're paying him not to confront your sin. That's why they don't pack into this, because sin is confronted here. In the false church, there's no confrontation of sin made. God had that joker measured from day one. That Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. Day one. Before he breathed any breath into Adam's nostrils. He already had that plan already worked out. An eternal God is not subject to time. There was a day back in the annals of time when Satan was created. Lucifer was created as an angel. That means that God, who just exists, one day created Lucifer. So how can this fool think he can outthink the creator that made him one day? At some period of time, he made him. And now I'm going to be a creature that's going to rise up to know more than the creator. This fool don't even know what makes him tick. He don't even know what he made of. He don't even know how God made him. Don't you know the person that made you through speaking you into existence can now speak you out of existence, fool? Here you are dealing with a mind that has no beginning and no ending. And you're going to stand up against him. And with your little pea brain mind, your little ant brain, trying to contend with the living God that has no beginning and no ending. Knowledge is just eternal with him. He knows. When you say everything, that's so far beyond me and you, you can't even begin to process that. What exactly is everything? Mathematical equations that me and you can't even comprehend. Physics that you and I can't even fathom. A minuscule mind of a college professor or a nuclear physicist is a clown to him. Man. And yet people try to stand up and fight against him and know more than him. You tell a person point blank range what you're doing is going to kill you. They go right to the guillotine and hack off their own heads. Go and get a rope and just jump off the building and hang themselves. And you told them, this is how you're going to end up, man. I'm telling you from experience, sin began to kill me. It's going to kill you. Yes. Well, let me go and experience it anyway. You're a fool. Yeah. Because the time frame from dying from sin has been shortened.
That's right. That's right.
More disease, more insanity,
that's right.
Higher level devils, more insane devils. You die faster now. But I don't want to deal with that. Man is a beast without the Holy Ghost. Look at Psalm 49. I wish it was pretty. I wish it was nice. But it's not. Psalm 49. Look at who's behind the scene doing everything to you. Hear this, all you people. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. See, a dark saying is a mysterious saying that's a revelation. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that it should still live forever and not see corruption. For he sees that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish or stupid person perishes and leaves their wealth to others. So the fool and the stupid person dies and they get all their money and keep on going forward with their stuff. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations, that they call their lands after their own names. So here they are, a rich man calling some territory or some house his name. Trump Towers. That's what he's talking about. Nevertheless, man being in honor abides not. He is like what? The beast that perish. A man that's in honor is like a beast, a dog that perishes. This, their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. That's all the body worms and maggots that eat you up in the grave. Death is feeding on you. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. So the upright, the righteous people in resurrection in the morning shall have dominion over the rich, wicked people. See, they have their allotted reward on earth with possessions. But buddy, when this thing is over, the table is going to turn. And those that represented God will have the upper hand over the rich man that thinks he's so much right now. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Don't say, don't be afraid of these folk. See how everybody's afraid of rich people? Yeah. Guy on Christian radio told me, hey man, be careful. You said something about Oprah. What are you talking about? This is the gospel. I'm not scared of a witchcraft working person trying to defile God's people. What are you afraid for? Because I'm not really saved. I just got a Christian radio station. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when you do well to thyself. You see that? Michael Jackson was big stuff for years. Prince was worshipped for years. Whitney Houston was a golden voice for years. But see how it just cycles through? Luther Vandross. All these folks. Teddy Pendergrass. But man, in posterity, after it's all over, no one cares. So they raise up another generation of Rihannas and Beyoncés. And when they die, they'll be forgotten. And the next generation will be raised up. Everything they're doing has no value. It's meaningless. Who in the world is sitting around in posterity eternally trying to sing 99 Problems by Jay-Z? Is dumb piles of cow dung confined to time and space for illiterate, ignorant morons that have been brainwashed by transferred spirits to make them worship these demon-possessed folks? That's what it is. And it has no basis in God's economy. He dismisses it all. He flushes it like dung down a toilet. The Bible says he's going to fold up this whole time and space continuum like a vesture, like a cloth, and put the mess away. And only what God is and who Jesus is will last. So you got to be found where? In him. If you're not in him, you don't make it. If this makes you angry, you're demonized. If it causes you to go into a frenzy, you're demonized. If your mind is functioning, trying to find a way, you're demonized. The demons have infiltrated your psyche, and you're offended by the truth of God's word. I'm just reading the Bible. All I'm doing is reading the Bible. Don't look at me. Don't argue with me. I'm reading the Bible. Don't look up at me. Look down at the Bible. If I expound on it, if I just give you revelation about it, check it against the Bible. Though while he lives, He blesses his soul and men will praise him. When you do well to yourself, men will praise you. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understands not is like what? Man in honor that understands not is like an animal that dies. See, an animal has no spirit. An animal is flesh and blood with no spirit. So when an animal dies, he just perishes. All these rotten dogs in the street, all these hit squirrels, the cockroach you just stomp on in your house and kill. There's no remorse. There's no funeral for them. Look at all the animals you're eating every day. Nobody's caring about that. Except for, what's it, Peta? They somewhere trying to shoot you for eating a chicken. They're a beast. They're not being saved. And that's what man is without God. He's just a beast. God blots them out of his mind. They'll be in hell and God won't be in remorse in heaven. God has the ability to black his mind out. If he can cast your sins into a sea of forgetfulness, he can blot out everybody in hell from his mind and make it like they never existed. He won't be thinking about them not one iota. They'll be blotted out of existence as far as he's concerned. And guess what? The same thing will be done to your mind. You won't remember your mama. You won't be thinking about your uncle in hell. Your daughter's in hell. She's not up here anywhere. My daughter went to hell. You'll have no conscious awareness of it. The glory of God will consume you. And you'll be in a whole nother environment that you can't even fathom down here. I have not seen, neither is ear heard, neither can it enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And another scripture says to them who obey him and wait on him. See, waiting is obedience. I wait because I'm waiting to obey what he says, not do what I want to do. Folks running around everywhere thinking they're serving God, doing what they want to do and calling it God. No, buddy. You got to wait on God. Because when he moves, it's decisive.
Yes.
Then can't nobody do nothing to you when God moves. But when God gives you something, it can't do nothing to you.
That's right.
So God did. Now you're fighting God now. Because I'm waiting on God and God did this.
Yeah.
That's why he says what God joins together, let no man put asunder. You can join together yourself and God ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
And you're going to live in turmoil because he didn't put it together. But what God joins together, let no man put asunder. That's why folk try to play with divorce. You get divorced most times, you can't get married again. That's a fact. That's a fact. God has the situation in case by case make a judgment. But if you just go in a cavalier way and get divorced, that's it for you. Every marriage after that is illegal, unlawful. And folk being married 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, talking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. No, you got yourself in a mess with your own carnal mind leading you and not the Holy Ghost. I wish it was pretty. It's not pretty. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel. Even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. This is him evaluating the rich now. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. So he says God's people return here and they're just in oppression and just dominated by the wicked rich people. And waters out of their eyes are wrung out into cups full of water from crying. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Who prosper where?
In the world.
In the world. They increase in riches. How in the world would anybody make Jay-Z a multimillionaire? He brings nothing to the marketplace of any value whatsoever. He's a brilliant, astute businessman. He's got a bunch of Harvard-educated lawyers and boys that pull the strings making all these business deals. This guy's a crack-pushing bum from the ghetto. When you are marketing and forcing ignorant, unlearned, arrested people to buy your product, you're not a master businessman. You're exploiting ignorance. Abject ignorance being exploited. Michael Jordan does the same thing with tennis shoes. Guys beating each other to death for a pair of tennis shoes. That's abject ignorance. That's being exploited. They're trying to tell you they're a billionaire, brilliant businessman. If you're a 12th grader beating up a kid in the kindergarten, you ain't a skilled fighter. They're exploiting people who are unarmed, ignorant, and they use sight and sound to govern them. They are told what to look like. These girls got these big old balloon butts because Nicki Minaj has become the paradigm to follow. So I'm going to look like Nicki Minaj because the media showed me Nicki Minaj was what I need to be like. So I go down to the Dominican Republic with everything I saved up with my Kmart paycheck. I've been saving up at Kmart till I got finally $5,000 put away to get myself a balloon butt. Now, mark the ignorance of somebody poverty stricken that scratches together every dime they can to go and get their behind pump full of silicone and all kinds of motor oil and transmission fluid and all this junk they put in you. And you come back walking around in the streets with this big old donkey behind to be like Nicki Minaj because the media told you she is what you should be trying to look like.